ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Threepeat Podcast. It's been a long time since we all got together here, but I am Dimitri Zamaris. You might know me as Meech. I'm joined today by two of my best buddies in the whole wide world, Christopher Hargrove.
Hard eyes. What's up, Meech?
What's up, buddy? And CD. CD, how's things going, man?
They're going.
Wow.
All right.
The typical insight there from CD.
A man of many words, as always. All right, guys. Well, surprisingly enough, we made it. There was NFL football last week. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, last time we talked, there was like no sports going on, right? I think we like recorded once when the pandemic started.
We recorded to talk about how there was no sports, I'm pretty sure.
Rough. And look at us now. Look at us. Look at us. Who would have thought?
Now our cup runneth over. So a lot to get into. Let's start with just kind of looking back on last week's NFL games and then kind of reflecting on, you know, I mean, it's always never too early for like overreactions and stuff like that. So
because that's what we do.
First off, let's just kick it right off, man. Chiefs repeating after they beat the Texans 34-20. What'd you guys take away from that game?
Picked up right where they left off. Right, they looked the well-oiled machine.
Which game are we talking about?
Kansas City and Houston, game one.
Why do they matter?
Why does who matter?
No, I'm just joking.
Super Bowl champs?
I'm joking. No, I think they're terrifying, mostly because you know they were so they were dominant, but they still were so like off. So like
Mahomes didn't even really play well.
Yeah, he didn't even play well, and like it's gonna be terrifying once they like with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, with the fact that you had Robinson, you know, was making a lot of plays. Like Tyreek Hill wasn't even able to get really loose, and they were just so dynamic everywhere. And their defense looked good, like their pass rush, like their secondary was pretty strong.
Oh,
like,
I mean, pretty solid. Watson was under pressure, like he was running out of the pocket, which I mean he does anyways.
He could be running for his life all year.
Yeah, he was running a lot, but like, I think like you said, like even obviously it's week one, kind of what Meech said, and guys just were not in shape yet. There's no preseason. You could tell everything was sloppy, and Mahomes just wasn't there. But then you add in the new weapon. And Edwards-Helaire, and he gets 164 yards, and that touchdown was nice. I mean, that was a good run. I think it just solidified them. So
probably should have
once they start it. Running, I mean, by like week three or four, it's gonna be good. It's a wrap. It's a wrap for the NFL.
I think it's still kind of like the Chiefs secondary still scares me, but like the Texans weren't the team to exploit that because of their receiving core. Like looks good on paper, but it still doesn't feel like any of those guys really mesh well. Together,
Will
like
Fuller's
they have.
Be good all year, if he's healthy.
I think the loss of DeAndre Hopkins is
all. Well, no, I'm just saying like all of their huge. All of their receivers are kind of the same.
Yeah,
like that, like Brandon Cooks, Kenny Stills, Will Fuller, like they all kind of do the same thing. So I don't know. I'm just less excited about the Texans than I am like more like oh the Chiefs are gonna run through the. I still think Baltimore, I still think like Seattle. I think those teams could still challenge the Chiefs just because I. The Chiefs are fun. They have, like, a lot of high-end talent, but I'm just not sure they're, like, the most complete team. But sometimes it doesn't matter when you have who they have playing quarterback, right?
Yeah, exactly. And at any moment, he heats up and goes on this spurt of, you know, weeks, you know, through the rest of the season where he's just consistently thrown for 350 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, and that's just
yeah.
That's basic Mahomes, so...
So then this week, I mean, the Chiefs are in Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. That's probably a dub because the Chargers look like, I mean, despite winning, they looked pretty bad
Pouncey
last week.
They just lost Pouncey, too, to IR.
Even right. Watching
so they looked pretty bad last
week.
Kinda,
it wasn't the same. When Derwin James went out, like, you could just tell, like, everybody was, like, deflated. That
right.
whole defense, he carried them.
And then... You know, Houston just starting off the season absolutely in the most brutal schedule possible. They're playing Baltimore this weekend, so we can get into that game after we talk about Baltimore. But, I mean, it's just not a fun start to the year if you're a Houston Texans fan, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a tough matchup. And I think they play somebody tough week three, too. I think it really is. Like weeks three, like the first 4 weeks of the season, I'm pretty sure they play all playoff
teams. Let me check, actually, before we move on.
I thought I remember them saying that, but oh my God.
Andy Reid. The Chiefs. Yeah, you're right. They play the Steelers in week three.
Okay, so.
Yeah, they might start off 0-3.
Loved the Andy Reid's face shield was the perfect.
The highlight.
Yeah, the highlight of that game for me.
So. All right, another game that I thought was kind of interesting heading into the weekend, but didn't really end up being that way was the Seahawks beating the Falcons. To me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but this game just kind of showed me, like, the Seahawks feel like the best team in the NFC to me, and they might be the most complete team in the NFL. What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think they're the best in the NFC. I still think the Chiefs are the best overall, but I mean, Russ, his MVP campaign started immediately. They let Russ be Russ. They let him open it up. And I mean, 31 for 35, 322 yards and four touchdowns. And it was just casual. I mean, he threw the long touchdown pass to Metcalf on like fourth down. And it was just like, all right, yeah, they're a juggernaut.
Right. And the game was never close.
No, not at all. But I'm just glad Pete let Russ cook. I mean, normally the run game is so important to him and so crucial. And it's not like, I mean, they do have weapons back there, but we just haven't seen him open it up. And he was able to do that against, like, you know, a kind of shitty Atlanta secondary. Like, they're not really super impressive. They're not.
I mean, the fact that they only had 20 rushing attempts and three of them were Russell Wilson himself is pretty impressive.
Do you think the pressure from, like, the public, like, got to him and he, like, started to hear that? Or he just started to realize, like, I have this weapon?
I just think it's like when you look at the construction.
He said something.
I just think it's when you look at the construction of the team, like, it just kind of makes sense to transition into this style of, like, offense, right? Like, Russell Wilson is, if not the best, like, at least in the tier one of quarterbacks in the league. Then you have Metcalf, Lockett, you know, Chris Carson showed that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. You still have Greg Olsen. They got a bunch of good tight ends. Eventually, they'll get Josh Gordon back in the fold. And, you know, there's rumors that of all the teams in the league, Seattle's like the team you keep hearing about with Antonio Brown in week 9. So, I mean,
I saw you scooped him off of waivers last week. So
it's 8 weeks, Meech.
That's all right.
A little premature.
It's a long-term investment.
I think.
Would you rather me have like some backup running back? I mean, I'm just making plays for the playoffs, man.
fuck with the vision.
In all seriousness, though, the Falcons continue like an every year trend with Dan Quinn where they just start off super slowly. Final score was 38-25, and even that, like, it wasn't even really that close.
Dude, Ryan had to pass it 54 times. Like, they can't keep doing that to him. You know, his talent is there, but...
Well, they can't. They don't trust their running game isn't there either.
I was going to say, though, even Gurley if they don't trust their running game, there was too much
Hill.
There was too much Todd Gurley.
Yeah, yes. It wasn't even that much. It was Gurley, Hill, and Ito Smith. They split, basically. If you go look at the snap count, like, Gurley wasn't getting heavy usage, but they didn't have anybody they could really rely on to do that. And then when you're down, well, you can't run the football, so you're already throwing it. But I must say, I think the candidates for 3,000-yard receivers is not the Cardinals. It's the Falcons. Because between Gage, Ridley, and Julio, like, they were just like...
They're already almost halfway
Falcons
there.
The Falcons have, like, the three best receiving core. It's just going to be a matter of...
Who?
The Cards, the Bucks, and the Falcons.
The Bucks, huh?
I mean, do they not?
I mean, we don't know if they're going to play.
I would throw the Lions in there, too. I would throw the Lions in there, too.
Wait, I don't know who's going to play. Chris Godwin?
Hold on. You don't throw the Lions in there?
The Lions have a good
for best like receiving cores in the league. Yeah.
I wouldn't put us up there.
I think they're top.
I think Galladay. I think Galladay's great. I think Marvin is
Galladay, Jones, and the white guy.
Amendola.
That's a pretty good lineup.
Amendola. That three does not. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because I'm not about to. I'm not because when it's time, it's gonna be time. But it ain't time yet. Galladay
and low key the Bills pass. The Bills don't have a bad receiving core either with Brown, Diggs, and the white guy, the other white guy.
We can't necessarily sleep on Kansas City either, huh? Like,
I mean, unless Hill, you want to. I mean, I'm not counting the
DeMarcus
ends,
Robinson. When DeMarcus Robinson and Sammy Watkins are trading off games where they play well, though, I do agree that. I mean, it helps that you have Patrick Mahomes.
He's
and Andy
basically
Reed,
a wide
but they're
receiver,
not
though.
To me. That's but like, in my opinion, like, but here's my thing with the Chiefs, though. Pat Mahomes is like Luka Doncic. Like, he unlocks the entire offense.
What?
It doesn't matter who's around him. If you go look at that Mavericks team, if you looked at the players on that team prior to the season, most people wouldn't know, Trey Burke and Seth Curry and Kid Gilchrist. And that was the number one rated offense of all time. And so, like,
also,
Pat Mahomes is kind of that. Like, it doesn't really matter who's there.
When they're healthy, the Cowboys have a really good receiving core too. But Michael Gallup played last week. Yeah,
I think that's the one. CeeDee Lamb,
Amari
Cooper. I think we're
gonna
look at
Gallup.
That like 5 years from now and be like, "Yo,
that's true."
They're all on the same team.
But
yep. All right.
Gallup. Yeah, so like, again, that was not week, PI, by the way.
I want to say if it comes down to it and your team has to take an onside kick, you definitely want Young Wei-Koo kicking that.
That was a beautiful onside kick.
That, yeah, that's one of the best I've seen.
I just remember him always getting cut, and then now he's like finally like.
He's the GOAT of onside kicks. I think he got like, what, 2 or 3 in one game at the end of last season, and then he's got this one in last week's game. Yeah, dude, he's intense. And then,
I'm surprised more kickers. I wonder if in like the future you'll see kickers who specialize in the onside kick, kind of like how like in baseball you have specialized pitchers. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So do the Falcons need to panic? They got all these first round picks starting on offense and still can't get a win. Or is it just week one?
Well, they play Dallas this week, so they could very well be 0-2 again.
Yikes. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
All right, and then the Seahawks will play the Patriots at home this week. We'll get to that game when we talk about the Patriots.
Yeah,
my dog Cam.
Do we even need to talk about Jets Bills?
No,
it was a boring Jets game.
In all seriousness, after week one, are the Jets the worst team in the NFL, or is it the Giants?
I wouldn't even say the Giants. I mean, should the Dolphins the look
Giants,
bad?
The Giants played the Steelers. Like,
I think the Dolphins are better than the Giants.
I don't think so. Heck no.
I don't know, man.
Heck no. No way on earth.
Daniel Jones is just so fucking inconsistent.
Like, they're playing the
Steelers. If the Dolphins had... hold on. We're getting ahead of ourselves. let's settle down. All right. So we're not even going to waste time on the Bills Jets.
Yes,
Bears Lions. Matt Patricia, worst coach in the NFL, yes or no?
No.
I don't know. Dan Quinn's pretty bad. Dan Quinn's
what,
pretty
what
bad.
About what Dan about I would Adam say Gase, I wouldn't say anything about that game was on him.
Adam Gase?
Who would you put it on then?
Swift.
You can't drop that pass.
I mean, yeah,
Are
he dropped it, but they
me?
Blew like a
We're not talking about this if he catches that ball. We're not talking about this at all.
What, him
That's
dropping
true.
The ball?
And AP, before,
he get in his head. He's a
and
rookie.
Before the signing, I was like, yo, what the heck with AP? But he was averaging 6 yards a carry.
Dude, AP looked good.
Like, he was.
He still has knees.
Arian looked
awful. Hold on, listen to my case real quick, CD. This is my case for Matt Patricia being the worst coach in the NFL. Matt Patricia is a defensive coach. And he let Mitch Trubisky go 20 of 36 for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, okay, I have
like almost all in the fourth quarter.
And I have a response to that. No,
but that's when they came
yeah,
back.
Neither starting corners were starting, including Okuda, your third overall pick. You don't have a pass rush. Trey Flowers was the last. Like, there's no pass rush. So Trubisky was just back there, just like, okay, I'm throwing. Like, there was no pass rush and no secondary. That's what's gonna. That's what's supposed to happen. So I didn't put that on Patricia. Trust me, I will be the number one person to go in on him. But the fact that Swift did not catch that ball. I mean, there was no Galladay. Like, that would have been a good steal game. Like, no.
Yeah, not a good start from my Matthew Stafford MVP bandwagon that I started driving.
I mean,
before
it's unfortunate because he's being asked to throw 40.
Yeah,
because
that
would have
been that would have been like a last minute clutch touchdown.
Absolutely, that's
game
huge.
Winner.
Yeah. Such momentum going into the season for you.
Definitely disappointing.
And that's why you said, why are we not
the
talking
good
about
news?
Swift?
The good news for
I
the
think
Lions
we're not talking
is
about it because you're going to get in his head and you don't want to screw him the rest of the season. Because
Swift is also, I don't think Swift is ready yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That,
but
that
right there, I would rather have J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah,
I'm drinking
the
Kool-Aid.
The good news for the Lions is that the Vikings looked really bad, and I still don't think the Bears are very good. So, I mean, they could still, you know, especially with 3 wild card spots now, they could still make the playoffs.
Jim Caldwell was a better.
This week the Bears play the Giants, so that should be a win, and the Lions play the Packers. So, who we'll talk about now?
Yes.
Packers 43, Vikings 34. Vintage. Again, this was one of those games where the score is closer than the game ever really was. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is a bad motherfucker, you guys.
Who's the anti-Aaron Rodgers fan in our group? Is that Kalega or Jeff? Jeff. I think it's Jeff.
Yeah, I don't
understand that one.
I think the jury's still out for me.
Nah, he's top 3 for me and like will be.
Like
it's
all
him,
time?
Mahomes,
like,
and no. Oh. Right now. Right
all
now,
right.
In the NFL.
No, I'm not putting him.
It's
not
him, Mahomes, and Russ.
He's not still talking.
Yeah, he is. He's still no, like put weapons around
the only,
him. He's still
the only reason. Yes. The only
again,
reason
the
I'm
Viking,
going to
364 yards and 4
again,
touchdowns
the Vikings,
against a good Vikings defense.
They pick their scheme is they have a new scheme this year, and like first of all, their corners have like not been great since 2 years ago. Like, he was picking on. He was picking. Like, Davante Adams was like, back shoulder throw, slat, up.
Because he's a god.
He's a beast. Yes. Like, I get that. I want to see, like, all right, let's see what LaFleur and them do. Like, they're great. I think they're a good football team now. I think when you look at Aaron, like, Aaron has a better football team around him. I'm concerned when teams are able to scheme and take Adams away. Yeah, you were able to get Lazard and MVS going and things like that. But is this a consistent thing? Or are you really going to be stuck like you were last year?
I think you,
that's my question.
I think they will. I think, like you said, the addition of the two receivers and then you still have Aaron Jones in the backfield. Like, you give him the weapons and give him the protection
he's had him, though. It's the same guys from last year.
The protection he needs.
It's the same guys from last year.
And they went 13-3 last year.
And what did they do in the playoffs?
All right, well, I mean.
Exactly. Because
they played a good San Francisco.
This is like their best. Like, I will say that. They hadn't been to the NFC Championship game in years. To finally get back there was like, okay. But listen. I'm not drinking top three Kool-Aid of Aaron Rodgers again.
I think Seattle's a better team, but they're like, yeah.
To me, Russ, still,
who you gonna put
Mahomes, Lamar.
No, I don't think Lamar's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
Lamar.
No.
Yes.
Meech, please weigh in.
Yes, he impacts the game more. No. He's learning. Listen. Yes, it's a little bit different. I don't discount playoff performance. I definitely carry that. That's very important. When you're young and it's year three now, like, everything is, it's just been an improvement year. Even in the ones that are tough, the times that are tough, he's still a great quarterback. You're still talking about the reigning MVP. You're still talking about the guy who had 36 touchdowns last year. You're still talking about the guy who had over 1,000 yards rushing last year. You're still talking about the guy who broke every defense.
All right, so the game's game's on the line.
Last I'm still drive, giving it. I'm giving. I'm, drill. I'm giving the young. I'm going with the guy with the with young Lamar. Gun, right. Who is the what do the quarterbacks do nowadays? They throw and they run and they bootleg. Aaron is not mobile like he used to be.
No, I agree.
Okay. With that. So you know,
he can still move, though.
He can still move. He can still move. Yeah. But if you look at the wave of quarterbacks and where it's going, and you see it's like, okay, outside of like Mahomes, who is also extremely mobile, but like throw heavy arm, can move. Lamar is the best version of that. He's top three in this league. Of course, in Peyton Manning's and Tom Brady's league, he's just like that outlier Michael Vick, right? But this is a Michael Vick type league. Lamar is that guy. So for me, I'm not putting old ancient Rodgers there. Old, now when we get to playoffs, and we get to the playoffs, I might click a different gear because this might be like a playoff Rondo thing. Like, that's how I look at Rodgers. Like, when playoffs come, that's when I expect you to shine. Blasphemy. We'll see.
Blasphemy.
I will say this is what happens when Rodgers does have Davante Adams available. He just looks like a better quarterback. And personally, I would take Deshaun Watson over Lamar Jackson, but that's just me personally.
Whoa. He's been saying that for a while.
Yeah. Meech has been on the Watson.
I just think if you put Deshaun in that ecosystem in Baltimore, it wouldn't even really be a conversation. So I just think that Bill O'Brien has tanked the Texans to a point that not.
I can agree to an extent. I think Watson's a better passer, clearly. I just think that
my problem with Lamar has been what we've seen in the playoffs is when the team gets down by 14 to 21 points is I have no confidence.
That's what I'm saying. You stop the run, which it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, what happens in the playoffs?
He's also extremely young.
I don't disagree.
You go look at young Michael Vick. Go look at young Michael Vick before they got to the championship game against the Eagles.
And he had flaws.
Exactly, and it takes time. It takes time with everybody.
That's what I'm not saying. I'm not shitting.
He's in year three. Is my point.
Not at all, but Aaron Rodgers with his.
He's a million years old. Get him his AARP card. Him, Brady, and Breeze. They can all go out together.
Relax. All right.
And Rivers. Rivers can be outside and get the doing a valet. No, he's across the street at McDonald's.
Relax.
Yeah, they need to. Yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. speaking of old quarterbacks, Cam Newton and the Patriots, 21-11 over the Dolphins.
Goat.
It looked kind of like it. Ryan Fitzpatrick is just not
good.
He's
good.
Literally just a stepping stone for Tua. That's all he's out.
What is good
for,
on
which
that
I'm
team?
Fine for.
I don't. Like, hold on though. That. In all honesty, if I'm the Dolphins. And I just saw the way that offensive line played against a not very good Patriots defensive line. There's no way I'm playing Tua this year.
But this,
not with the injuries
exactly.
that he's had.
Yes. Yeah, there's no way I throw him out there with the way this season already is.
Man, it's 2020, bro. We might not even make it to 2021. Throw that boy out there.
No! Then you throw him out there. Then potentially ruin.
Yeah, and the world might end. Who cares? You just throw him out there.
Yeah, the world that end.
Hey.
Maybe wait until November, and if Trump wins again, then yeah, throw him in there because we're not lasting another.
I knew he was about to. He is ready for that one.
For one.
Yeah, you know, wait till November.
In all seriousness, though, I kind of like the Cam Josh McDaniels combination.
And I like that McDaniels let him be Cam.
I'm so glad I got him on my team.
Yeah.
Cam led this game in rushing with 15 carries for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm excited to see how they look against Seattle this week, but I just don't think they have enough to keep up with like high scoring offenses like I predict Seattle to be.
They're Odell Beckham away from.
I mean, you could tell he was looking at Edelman pretty frequently.
I mean, that's really the only receiver they have. You were talking about where I was saying they're going to attack the middle of the field. Yes. And they did. They attacked the middle of the field. I mean,
isn't that what Brady had to do with Edelman anyway?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think, though, but what Cam likes to do is Cam always likes his deep ball. Like, he loves his deep ball receiver. I still believe Nikhil Harry is his deep ball guy. Like, that's the one that he's
going to. Waiting for Nikhil Harry to show up. So
he's better than Kelvin Benjamin.
I mean, that there's no Kelvin. What the hell?
Kelvin Bummerman.
All right. You can leave.
The defensive lineman. That's the best edge rusher I've seen.
Get out of here.
Speaking of edge rush, the most shocking result of the weekend was Washington just destroying the Eagles.
I was not
coming
shocked.
Coming back from 17.
I was
down.
Not shocked.
I was.
I was not. I felt Redskins should win this game.
The football team. But yes.
The Washington football game. Football team.
It's okay. I keep doing it too.
The Cleveland baseball team.
In context, after you like kind of sit and think about what happened, when you consider that the Eagles' offensive line is basically just reduced to cinders at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
And Washington probably has like arguably the best defensive line.
They have
in the
a
NFL
really good
right
defensive
now.
Line.
His mark, 4 tackles, sack and a half.
Yeah,
Chris pulling out his encyclopedia.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, I got the stats
team
here.
Team had 8 sacks.
It's kind of interesting because it becomes, if Washington's offense, which has a lot of young guys on it, if they can grow throughout the season as the defense kind of, you know, keeps them in games, like Washington could sneak, maybe not sneak into the playoffs, but they could be a sneaky good team.
They could win like 5 games.
I was about to say 4 or 5 is all I'm expecting.
I believe in them winning 5 or 6.
See, let's do this real quick, and we don't need to get like too far in depth into it, but like Washington or New York?
Jets?
Giants. The Giants. I think Washington's
Giants.
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 See, I think people are still too high on the Giants.
No, nah, I don't think so. I think they have a better team. They're off. Listen, I think that Steelers game, people don't. That's what I was trying to say. I was like, I think people aren't realizing how amazing the Steelers defense is about to be. Like,
no, I know the Steelers defense is very good.
That's what they're going to do to everybody. I don't think it's just Daniel Jones. I'm not a Daniel Jones guy, just like you're not.
Okay, but so this is my thing. The Washington football team strength is the defensive line, right? And when Reuben Foster comes back, whenever that will be, their front seven is going to be one of the best front sevens in the league. I think that they match up well with the Giants, and like in those two head-to-head games, I could see Washington sweeping those, to be completely honest. Just because of how careless Daniel Jones is with the football. I think it's very underrated how bad Daniel Jones is. I think like people
football.
Aren't
Josh
talking
Allen.
Enough about it. What was that?
Josh more careless with
Josh
the
Allen's
football.
Way,
Josh Allen.
Way better than
Which
Daniel
is saying
Jones
a lot because Josh Allen is awful. When
yes,
he
is.
Keeping,
Daniel just
keeping
got those really big eyes. I just don't understand how he doesn't see it. Like
he's staring into it.
For the Eagles, though, I mean, they play – Los Angeles, the Rams this week, and I just don't see how they're going to block Aaron Donald.
Are they
especially after what
guys?
He just did to Dallas.
Who?
The Eagles.
I'm sorry?
They're so boring.
I don't have
to
any faith in Carson Wentz.
Like, every team in that division just about is boring, but the Washington and like Eagles are like the most boring, and but the Eagles are just so boring.
And
like
you said, like with their offensive line, basically.
Where is the creativity in the off? Like, I understand. Like, this is a team that.
I'll just say this before we move on. Washington is currently in first place in the NFC East. So
that'll
take
last
that
long. Just like the Jags, right?
Oh
yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Actually, no, the Jags are tied for first. But they will be in first this week after they beat the Titans. moving on.
We can see, moving as on. You can see, it's Meech pivoting from Trevor Lawrence to Jags winning very quickly.
Hey, man, Minshew is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Bro, he set history last week.
But in all seriousness, the next game, you guys talk about boring teams. This is two of the most boring teams, I think, in the NFL with the Raiders and the Panthers.
Nah, Panthers. CMC, I could watch him all day.
Yeah, who? I was about to say.
CMC? And Jacobs?
I'll say this, though. I mean, 23 Rugs. Carries for 96 yards and two touchdowns. That's not bad. I mean, at 4.2, I don't think either of these teams is really going anywhere very seriously this year. But that's just me personally. And I don't really like watching running backs, so
Carolina's
I'm not like.
Carolina's got a problem in the secondary, though. Like, that's what's going to kill
their
them.
Their defense sucks.
Yeah, the defense is buns. So, I mean, they let Derek Carr kind of.
Well, Derek Carr didn't even throw deep.
No, but.
Derek Carr was throwing everything underneath.
But that's
Jacobs
the story about Derek Carr. That's the Derek Carr story.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. The reason I say that is because the Bucs are not. They shouldn't. They should attack deep. It'll be there. You're
talking about the Raiders.
No, I'm talking about the Bucs this week when they play the Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my bad.
Josh Jacobs looked good,
and
though.
Then, yeah, he did. It's just hard for me to – I just don't think either of these teams is going to be very good. I think the Panthers might very well be, like, picking top three come next season.
Two wins, I think I give them. Two to three wins.
The Panthers?
Yeah.
I just don't think they're
going
to
win 15.
McCaffrey
their
has
defense,
to carry them.
Their defense is really bad.
Way too much. Yeah, their defense is
bad. Got to throw to DJ Moore.
McCaffrey can't do anything, everything, although he damn near basically does every single week.
Yeah, and the thing is McCaffrey had a good game, but it was the Raiders, and I don't really have faith in the Raiders' defense either. So I'm not sure when they start playing good teams like the Saints, I really don't see how they're going to score any points.
You mean the Aints?
What I had down here on my notes, Joe Brady handing off to the fullback instead of Christian McCaffrey on fourth and inches. With a minute and 11 left. Like, how do you do that? How do you not put the ball? Like, we see that time to time again. Like, how do you not put the ball in your star's hand? Like,
I don't know, man. I'm not going to question Joe Brady. That guy knows a lot about football.
I mean, I don't know. I know enough to
give. He just put together the single greatest offensive season in college football history. I'm not going to question it.
Can't give his star running back the handoff.
Well, that's why you never pay running backs, man, because they're not.
He's the best. You gotta give it to him.
Who are you talking about?
Joe Brady. Christian McCaffrey. Best running back in the NFL.
For now. Moving on to the undefeated Jacksonville Jaguars. 27-20 win over
best
the Colts.
Best team in the state of Florida,
right? In all seriousness, there's two things I took away from this game.
We're definitely not drafting.
I was wrong about C.J. Henderson.
Oop. Hey, turn this up.
And two, Philip Rivers. The Colts need to take Philip Rivers to the shed and just put him out of his misery. Because he's done.
Right between the forehead. Just call it. Yeah.
I mean, did you guys watch any of this game?
Did
you watch any of Philip Rivers? Because it's very obvious he's cooked, bro. His arm is toast.
Oh, completely agree. I mean, T.Y. didn't help. He had a few big drops that probably would have skewed things a little bit better towards Rivers. But, yeah, no, he's old. He's on the last year or two of his career, just like Brady. I mean, that era is ending.
It comes back to I really didn't understand the Colts as a Super Bowl team. Like, a lot of people were hyping them up as, like, Super
Bowl.
Who was
saying that?
No, that's too much.
Dude, I'm not. I'm saying what I heard.
I need them links because whoever they are, we need to send some deeply worded letters.
They're not even a top five team in the AFC, like, to me.
Bro.
They're not even a top three team in their own division.
Oof.
You know what I think? Hey, here's my take, though. You know what I think can unlock them?
Trevor Jacoby Lawrence? Brissett.
No, Jonathan Taylor.
Feed him.
I guess. Just because of what
they did abandon the run a little too.
Yeah,
because
if you think about their
game.
Line, commit to the run, minimize Rivers throwing the ball a bunch. Paris Campbell is good.
They're going to be one of those teams, CD, where if they get down, they're going to be out of the game because Phillip Rivers can't throw you back into a game anymore.
Okay, so because
but like if they can control the clock and run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, like you're saying, I agree they could be good, but it's like. What are the chances you're actually going to be able to do that?
Like I said, though, they got to feature Paris Campbell, Jonathan Taylor more.
Is there a defense a problem? How was Minshew able to just pick them apart with, like,
yeah,
he only threw 20
true.
Times.
Minshew,
still, he completed 19 of them.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, their game plan was basically, okay, we're going to run it. We're going to, you know, hit you. We're going to be very, very, you know, at precise, convert, when we need to convert, and we're going to play you tight. We're not going to make mistakes. And that's basically how the only way Jags can win is not making mistakes. That's how
the Jags are going to win this year if they win at all. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, because they don't have the talent to make mistakes.
Don't worry, they're going to do just well.
The Jags won this game with 240 yards of total offense, which is just
nuts.
Bananas.
Yeah, now
and the thing is, they didn't really have – their defense wasn't, like, strapping.
You'll miss out on Fields and Lawrence, and it'll just be a wrap. Yeah.
No, well, then we'll get Trey Lance, bro, because he's looking good, too.
Look, he's pivoting.
No, in all seriousness, I think the Jags will end up still being, like, one of the three worst teams in the league. And then you – even if they
until
finish
we go
in the top 2-0? Five – huh?
Until we beat the Titans this week, right?
Yeah, if they go 2-0, I mean, then they're going to win the Super Bowl. But that's
but we're a 9-point we're a 9-point underdog.
Underdog, yeah.
Nine, bro.
That sounds about right.
No, in all seriousness, though, that's think when all the games are done, I think the Jags will finish somewhere in the top five range, which is like where they've traditionally been. But at least if they don't finish in the top three, they have that extra first round pick to make moves if they need to.
So they play the Titans. Who does Indy play this week?
Indy plays the. The Vikings. So,
matchup of 0-1 teams.
We'll see what comes of that. Ravens.
0-2.
Somebody's gonna.
The Ravens destroyed the Browns 38-6.
Right on time.
Lamar looked good.
Marquise Brown, Hollywood.
Baker looks toast.
Can't get Odell the ball. I don't care.
He's worried about.
I mean, Odell looked bad though, dude. I know.
That may be fine, but he couldn't get him the ball.
I know he's a trash can.
I still saw him open a few times. I still saw him open some other times. Baker just is trash. Like, I don't. He gets such gas, and yet this man is just booty cheeks.
Well, to be fair, he did have a really good rookie season, and then kind of.
Yeah, when he had no tape on him, he got to go to his first read. That man has trouble freaking going to his first, second, third option, breaking down. His first option is Jarvis Landry. Like, it's literally, he's in the slot? Okay, Jarvis Landry. Like, literally every, like it's like that or some random tight end. Everybody through the middle. Whoever's in the slot are coming out, like, it's mesh all day.
If Cleveland can't beat Cincinnati tonight, they got some stuff.
I think Cincinnati's going to win tonight.
Wow.
Joe Burrow game.
From a fantasy aspect, Kareem Hunt
I love
took
Joe
quite
Burrow.
A few carries away from Nick Chubb.
Did you see what O.J. Simpson said?
No.
O.J. Simpson was like, it's ridiculous how, like, he doesn't get the ball more. He said – and he said some strong stuff. Like, he said
about
that
– Chubb or Kareem Hunt?
About Chubb. He said that Chubb – he feels Chubb, like, just pure runner. He's probably, like, the second best runner, like, in the NFL. Like, he ran for 1,500 yards last year.
A lot of people
year.
That know running backs say that he is probably, like, just in terms of running the football, mm-hmm. he's probably the best running
and back. He was like – because he said a few years ago, he said when they had Hyde there – he said Chubb had like two carries, but he had like 50 yards on each one. He was like, what the heck? He's like, and then they got rid of Hyde, and he started going off. And he just watched him, and he was like, yo, this guy is just electric. It doesn't make sense how he has 10 carries in that game. Like, what are the Browns doing? Like, Kareem Hunt's a great running back, but the fact that you have Chubb, and he only gets 10 touches on the ground, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
For sure. And he's your best player. Why are you not feeding him the ball?
Exactly. Why are you not giving him the ball?
So what are those matchups? Baltimore. We talked about Baltimore, who they played already this week. Who does Cleveland play?
Bengals.
Cleveland plays the Bengals tonight.
Yeah, Bengals are going to win 20-17.
And we're
going to
talk about the Bengals now because that's the next game on our list. Bengals 13, Chargers 16. I'm going to say this. The Bengals should have won this game.
Yes.
John Ross dropped a touchdown.
Oh, color me
then
shocked.
You had
the kicker. The kicker that injured both his
legs.
Yeah,
and then the kicker shanked two kicks, right?
Yeah, he was holding one leg after he missed the kick, and then I think they were looking at another leg on the sideline. I thought that was golden. What was it, Randy? Randy something. But
Randy Bullock.
With a name like Randy, I mean, just get the hell out of here.
Randy Shot Newman. South Park.
That Randy. Yeah, of course, but.
Randy Newman.
The Bengals O-line is buns, though. Like, poor... except for that one block that Joe
legitimately,
Burrow had.
Legitimately, the Bengals might have the worst offensive line I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're trash.
Like, legitimately, I'm scared for Joe Burrow's health because of how bad this offensive line is.
He had some bright spots. I mean, like, the run...
No, I mean, he's going to be the truth, bro. He's honestly so good, but it's just...
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't see anything from the Chargers that makes me want to take them seriously.
Jeff says apparently when Herbert gets there, you'll see something.
But that's another one. Like, I'm glad he can actually sit and learn, like, for a year. They don't throw
not for fantasy. I need that man under center.
Who?
Herbert.
You have him?
I got him in another league. Oh, I got Keenan Allen. It must be a I got Keenan league. Allen, so I need Herbert to be slanging that thing.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, here's one of the more interesting games of the week last week. Saints 34, Bucks 23.
Oh, yeah. Look at Chris scanning through his stats.
I want to say this before we start, because I know, Chris, you have a lot to say about this game. But I do want to just say this. I think, all things considered, Brady looked better than Breeze. And I'm not sure that's saying much anymore, because I think Breeze is cooked. I don't think the Saints can win the Super Bowl with Drew Breeze playing quarterback.
To quote one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL right now, R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
All right, I'm going to need you.
Relax.
Because you don't got him under center.
Just panic. I think people gave Brady too much shit. And I know you're kind of joking around, but we've talked about this. Like, to be a new quarterback in a brand new system, I don't care how long you've been playing, it takes an adjustment period. Then you tack on the insaneness that this season is and the lack of preparation that he was able to have before the season started. It showed out there on the field. Today, Mike Evans took blame for the pass. Even though Brady,
you want that ball. You're going to be like, yeah, you know, it's on me. And I'd do the same thing if I wanted the ball back.
If you go and look at it, though, like he was not ready for the – like he wasn't ready for the ball. Brady that was an overthrow. And
I guess for me, here's my thing, okay? I agree with that, and I concede all of that. I just want also the other end to be very true, too, which is Brady ain't look good.
What didn't look good, though? The two picks? The two – because everything else kind of seemed he like looked, he was dropping.
So he looked kind of timid in the pocket. Like, you know, like –
look at the offensive line he has in front of him. Wouldn't you not be timid, too?
Listen, Tom has never been, like, a timid pocket person, though. And the Patriots haven't always had an elite offensive line.
And look what happens when they don't. He usually
But he still does, like, Tom stuff, like getting the ball – rid of the ball quick. You know, getting it down accurate. You know, some of the throws I didn't feel like, you know how you watch somebody throw and it's like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, there's his chance. They got rid of it. It's like I was almost like, get rid of it, Scotty Miller. What up? Okay,
but I saw that coming. You know what I mean? It was the checkdowns to Scotty Miller.
So like, I'm kind of like, it doesn't help that his receivers are like really nice Ferraris that have the check engine light on right now, you know, and it's like, okay, like, let's take them. We got the dealer right out of the corner. We good.
You know, they came up against two of the best corners in the league, too, right?
I don't want to hear that. That's an excuse.
What do you mean you don't want to hear it, though? Like, that's facts.
It's an excuse, though.
It's facts.
It's an excuse.
All right, so you expect him to go out there and get
some. I expect you to figure it out. You brought it. They brought him in. He got doing hype videos now. I don't want to hear it. Right, Meech?
I mean, I still think the Bucks are like, still pretty good. Gronk looked absolutely like dog shit, dude. I don't know why he came out of retirement.
That was tough to watch. He wasn't even a part of the offense very much. And then when he was blocking,
and
he was kind of
slow. Even when he was in, bro, he looked so slow. Yeah. He's toast. They need to take him out to the shed.
Yeah, I didn't like what I saw there. That was tough to watch. But New Orleans is still good. Like, I think you're right, Meech. Breeze is washed up. Like, it's done.
That's the one thing, bro, is like the Saints. It's an interesting thing about the Saints to me. I think the Saints are going to be one of the more like fun teams to keep an eye on this year, just because, like, in all honesty, bro, and you know how I feel about Jameis, but I think Jameis gives them a better shot at the Super Bowl than Drew Brees at this point.
Do you think they put Jameis in ahead of
you better not say Taysom.
Taysom Hill?
Bro, if they put Taysom Hill in a quarterback,
he's the number two quarterback, though. Like, if it comes down to it, let's say Brees gets injured. Who starts?
Hey, bro, hold on. They put that bum. So the Saints are paying Taysom Hill $17 million this season.
Jameis has a million.
He played 17 offensive snaps on Sunday.
A million per snap?
He's not. I don't understand.
I would rather Jameis and
Taysom.
What's
that mean? It's the wild card aspect. Is he going to throw it? Is he going to run it?
He's goofy as a mug every time I see him out there.
Like, it confuses the defense.
Yeah, I ain't confused. I see his goofy stuff. I saw Wildcat. Like, okay, take your goofy stuff out there. Oh, we're going to come. We're thinner. I'm going to throw it. Yeah, all right. Like,
I mean, he makes
it. Taysom Hill. I'm going to give you.
Can't deny that.
Let me fix my stuff because I'm frazzled. Oh, right
now. Underrated part about Taysom Hill is people think he's young, bro. He's 30.
He's a million years old. He's a million years old. You know what Taysom Hill is?
He's 4 years older than Jameis Winston.
Taysom Hill is the equivalent of Ben Simmons beyond the 3-point line. I am going to sit back, be under the free throw line, and let you shoot all day. You want to throw the football? By all means. I'm loading the freaking box, and I'm putting you on an island because there's no freaking way you can throw. He's like such an inaccurate thrower.
But let's get down to the root of the conversation. Like, do you guys think Drew Brees has enough left to get the Saints to – I mean, the Saints
– to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl?
If you just look at their roster, the Saints are, like, one of the three most talented teams in the NFL, agreed, right?
Yes.
Do we all agree on that?
Absolutely.
And I just don't think Brees can do it. And like, it pains me to say because Brees is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, but I just think he's toast, dude. I don't think there's any way they're winning the Super Bowl.
Here's how they do it.
Tell me.
There's two things that need to happen. It has nothing to do with Brees. One, that pass rush has to rev up by the time we get to December.
Yep.
Two, it can't.
They got the guys to do it.
They do. Two, Kamara and Latavius Murray have to be blazing hot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Kamara didn't look good running the ball. I mean, his two touchdowns came from.
Well, it's because running backs don't matter.
No. Because if Murray can pound, because if that defense can give them the ball, Murray's running it, and you're running clock, and you're controlling the ball, Brees won't have to do much.
They're another team.
You already don't have Michael Thomas for 3 weeks. You know, so you need to get into that flow anyway.
They're another team to me, CD, that I mentioned like earlier with like the Ravens and stuff, where if they fall behind, I start to really worry about their ability to win football
at this point, yes.
Yeah, you're putting the pressure on Brady's shoulders.
But see, on Brees' shoulders. So here's my counter to that argument of getting behind. The thing that the Ravens and the Saints and some of those other teams have is very good defenses. So you don't need to. Hey, those championship teams aren't always coming from behind.
The defense can handle its business the rest of the game. You just got to run your own offense.
The defense is just overwhelming, and you're just you can control the game.
Well, we gave Brady the
credit. Look at the Titans
playing a good defense. I mean, the Bucs don't have a horrible defense either. They have a great pass rush, a good run defense on the line.
If y'all had the best
linebackers in the league, Levante David, the most underrated.
If y'all had a lockup corner, I would be like,
That's it though. That's what the
like
team
if y'all called up the car, if
also,
y'all called up the Cardinals
also,
right now and was like, hey,
the team is dependent on the young secondary and the offensive line, the shoddy offensive line. Like, if those two things are clicking, if those two aspects of the game are clicking, the Bucs are.
Also, I'll say this: if
competing
Donovan
against
Smith
Seattle
wasn't
for the NFC.
Also, if Donovan Smith wasn't your left tackle, you might be straight.
Trash. Like, we could have grabbed one of the
cutouts.
All right,
we got to move on because we're already almost at an hour and we're still on the NFL. Cardinals beat the 49ers 24-20.
That was a surprise.
I'm just going to say the 49ers, as great as Shanahan is. I'm sorry. As great as Shanahan is, when you have legitimately zero wide receivers worth anything, it's easy to stop George Kittle and to stop the running game.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a problem they keep running into until
porn star Jimmy
kind of make some changes.
The Trent Williams block was, like, the best thing to take away from this game, right? Like, that was one of the best blocks that I've ever seen.
Well, that
life.
And DeAndre Hopkins still being DeAndre Hopkins and just shitting on whatever
defense
you put in front of him.
I think,
yeah, 15 for 151.
Bill O'Brien, worst coach. Oh, you want to talk about another idiotic coach. How can we forget Bill O'Brien? What a moron.
I thought we said
Bill O'Brien's not as bad of a coach as
I heard Bill O'Brien's name and trash in the same sense.
Let me just reiterate that. Bill O'Brien's trash, so.
Nobody's a... So is that all the games? Are we going to get into...
No, there's still three more games.
Sunday night, Monday nights.
So many games.
Rams 20, Cowboys 17.
My dog Dak.
I mean...
Did they get robbed?
Hey, man, that was not offensive pass interference. I don't care what
it
said.
I think it was. I think normally we just don't see a good call.
No. Like, but they were both... No, they were both hand fighting, and he's like running. And then Ramsey does the, he beat me.
Well, I think
that's
what happened. Like, Ramsey got beat. So he was already.
He got beat,
the
so then he broke his
he was
neck
to
back.
Catch up, and the arm extension looked like pass interference, even though.
Get out of here. My man Gallup just burnt him.
He did.
I'm going to say this is Aaron Donald has been unblockable since he's entered the league, but there was something about him on that game, like, he just looked even more unblockable than he had before.
Is it?
And that's fucking terrible.
Is it blasphemous to say that he's the greatest defensive tackle of all time.
No. He's one of the greatest players.
Who are the people that are really going to make this difficult?
CD, I was going to be honest with you, bro. If you had said he's the greatest defensive player of all time, I wouldn't have had an argument with you.
Because, I mean, just the stuff I see, I'm just like, bro, he's – like, the Cowboys are not chopped liver offensive line. That man was just moving people.
They didn't have Lael Collins, but he was still just destroying triple teams.
He was just pushing people.
He will be known as, like, one of the best all-around NFL players.
And he's ripped. Most credit goes to, like, that man is shredded.
Yeah, no, it's –
I've never seen a defensive tackle that is built like that.
He's the Mike Trout to the NFL. Like, basically, just it doesn't get enough credit, but is in the insane talent that is a generational talent.
And they got Joe Montana at quarterback, so, like, everything's fine.
Oh, my God.
All right, relax. Steelers-Giants, 26-16. Meh. Big Ben's back. That's kind of cool. Daniel Jones is trash.
I got a name for you.
Is legitimate, bro.
That's about to go off this year.
The Steelers defense is. Who? I'm sorry.
I got a name for you that's gonna go off this year. Who? Clay Brooks, receiver.
You mean Claypool?
Claypool. That dude.
For Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Claypool.
I just like seeing him run. I was like, yo, that dude is a player.
I saw the chemistry with him and Juju on the sideline.
Like, he's well, like, and the thing big,
is,
too,
bro, yeah. is. The thing is, with the Steelers, when they draft wide receivers, I just assume they're going to be, really fucking good. Like, I just...
They have a lot.
You know what I mean?
They're like Are they receiver university in football, in NFL? Think about...
Consistent
when they draft a receiver anywhere after the second round, second rounder, they're going to be beasts.
Did you call him San Antonio?
Man, it's been a long day, bro.
San Antonio Holmes, you mean?
Yeah, San Antonio
Straight
Holmes.
Straight out of Texas.
One of the greatest catches I've seen ever.
Oh, hands down in that Super Bowl.
Toe tap swag.
Yeah, no, I think it was a mediocre game.
Can we talk about Saquon 15 carries for 6 yards?
Bro, he would get the ball, and the defense was just there already.
Yeah, no, he had nowhere to go.
The Giants are so funny, dude.
How
do you take a running back second overall, man?
That's not their problem.
I was about to say, I don't even know that's the problem.
Meech is thinking about it wrong. This is why, and you want to know why he's thinking about it wrong? Is they didn't.
Because I hate running backs.
He hates running backs, but also the teams that are drafting these running backs don't have a line to begin with.
Stink.
The Cowboys, the reason I think the Cowboys, like, as much as, like, they kind of implode postseason, the reason they're so, like, if you look at their offense, though, they move the freaking ball. Their line is impeccable, and then you have an extra great running back behind it. These teams are just drafting these guys thinking, like, okay, you're going to Barry Sanders this. Like, right. Barry Sanders was really fighting out there. Right. Even though he had, like, a Pro Bowl, like, the guy who's coming, Lomas Brown, like, that was, like, his guy. Like, the other side was awful. He had to freaking struggle for life.
In a Cowboys type of position where the offensive line is already there and then you bring in the stuff.
Everybody should be skipping on running back unless you have a line like that.
Right, absolutely. I agree.
And even then, I wouldn't take one until, like, the fifth round. But that's just me personally.
I mean, sometimes you do gamble because there are – I mean, the running back is a position where once there's a stud, and you got him good for 3-4 years. So, I mean, you got to take advantage of that. But
so here's my – this is going to be my argument against paying running backs, though. Is like, I agree. Like, you can take them in the draft, but, like, just don't pay them after their first contract is my thing. Because, like, for example, we all love Dalvin Cook, right? Like, I mean, he's awesome.
He's trash.
But in all honesty
– JK.
Alexander Mattinson and Boone, each time they're in for the Vikings, is really not that much of a drop off. And now you're paying Dalvin $8-9 million a year, and I think that is a drop off.
I'd say Mattinson
is pretty good.
Better.
I think Christian McCaffrey is about to reestablish what the running back needs to do to get that.
Yeah, but McCaffrey's different because of how he catches the ball.
I think he catches the ball.
Like, that's what the running back is going
like. Not everybody pass catching is a skill in itself. You know, like, that's one of the reasons why Ronald Jones even, like, is like this, that question is like, can he pass catch? You go look at Dalvin can pass catch really well. He can also run between the tackles. It's really his durability that's a question. He has value that I think is up there, and I think Madison is very good. I don't think Boone is as good a pass catcher as Dalvin or Madison. I think Madison is more so the Cliff Paul to his Chris Paul as far as, like, the comparison.
Right, that's what I'm saying, though, is I feel like you can get at least 80% of what you get from Dalvin from Madison and Boone.
Yeah.
And then the final game, guys, is Tennessee beat The Broncos 16-14.
Gostkowski, am I right? Trash. He missed like three kicks. That was tough.
Is that why Denver lost?
I mean, he did hit the game-winning. I'm sorry. Gostkowski came through in the end for Tennessee. But
I was going to say, though, a lot of kickers looked really bad in week one. So
a lot of injuries, a lot of missed field goals. The no preseason was tough. I definitely think for those that were saying we don't need a preseason before this, or even like a super condensed one, like one or two games, I think this is definitely showing you that, yeah, we can't do that. I don't think we're going to see like good consistent play till like week four or five, to be honest.
I'm interested to see the Broncos once they get Cortland Sutton back.
They don't need him.
I don't want to make any judgments on them until then.
They don't need him. Trade him.
Drew Lock looked like, man.
They got that boy Jerry Jeudy, and Noah Fant.
Jerry Jeudy was dropping a couple passes.
Jerry Jeudy is disgusting.
Big booty Jeudy.
He's got to catch the ball. He's got to be more consistent. I was about to say,
he's got to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, he just can't catch. That's the only thing.
You kind of got to do that. That's what
man,
the position
every
is.
Skill. Man was taught by God how to run routes and has Trump's hands.
Well, CD, that's the thing, though, bro, is if you can't just give him all of it. If he had hands on top of everything that God. He already has.
He'd be Julio, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
He would. Julio.
All right, so that's it for the NFL talk. Let's move on to the NBA, I guess. Or do you want to talk about baseball first?
Whatever you want to. We can do baseball and we can end on NBA.
Let's do baseball first, and then we'll
I only have can, one major
we
thing
can blow
to say
through
about
that.
Baseball.
What do you got?
Well, you gonna let
all
me
right,
go?
Yeah, CD,
I'll let
you
go first. Unless you want me to like.
I actually.
Oh my God.
I had to organize my thoughts.
This man put notes down.
All right, so just something quick.
He's got a piece of
this
paper.
This is my first year, like really paying attention to the Tigers.
It's folded up into like fourths.
And you know, so I just looked at a few
pulling
things.
Pulling it out.
So first of all,
high schooler
Tigers.
Something out of their backpack.
Tigers. This is my vent. Okay, you're the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team. Okay. But you're middle, like you're almost average, which I can like kind of respect with there being 10 to 15 games left. Like it's like, okay, right? But you started season 9-5. I was like, all right, cool. We started off 9-5. Then you lose the next 9 freaking games before beating the Cleveland team. Okay. Then here's a bright spot. From August 23rd to September 1st, you went 7-1 and you beat the Cubs, which is a big one. That was a good win. And you beat the Twins. Okay, nice wins, nice solid wins, right? Then you drop 4 in a row for beating the Twins.
This man talking about me looking at
numbers. And then
getting
dropped 19-0 to the Brewers. Come on, man.
At least you didn't have like 30 runs.
But check this out. No, this is the stat that just makes me like boil, okay? Do you know who leads the MLB in ERA, like the highest ERA?
The highest ERA?
The highest.
I'm assuming it's going to be
Matthew.
That wouldn't be leading, by the way. That would
No. I'm doing this on purpose. Matthew freaking Boyd. Okay, this man has the highest ERA. He's second in the league in most hits given up, bro, and home runs given up. He's 2-6. He's booty cheeks. Okay, that's part of our problem. We don't have anything. Our saving grace, though, is. Jemier Colonero.
Okay.
We got
Whoa,
the Cubs.
Love that.
He's like
really.
So he was named American Player of the Week last. Ooh. What was that last week?
Okay.
All right, my dog. He's batting 333. He's 22nd in slug percent. I'm like okay.
He's 22nd in slug percent.
22nd.
Okay.
And 19th in hits okay. for a team that's been booty cheeks. He's doing his thing. He's batting 383 in September. Okay, so like that's like you know
we're halfway through the month.
You know we doing some work. You know what I'm saying? We got at least somebody that when you look on the thing, you're like, okay, that's my guy. Other than that, we got a couple prospects that's been like up and down and then booty cheeks as well. We got a long way to go. That's all I gotta really say about it. But I like what I see. I like to see the progression. I just don't want to see us getting blown out by a million and make the score look like it's a doggone basketball score. Like I just, you know.
CD, I've got good news and bad news for you. The bad news is you're in a rebuild. It's going to be years
until
you're good.
I got hype. I was like, we 9-5. You know what I'm saying?
Also, the bad news, you're playing 60 games in a season where you normally play 162. So for you, you're going to see these massive swings of, oh, we won 9 straight. Oh,
bro.
My God, we just lost 19
to
nothing.
When I saw, like, you look on like some games I'll like look at and some I won't. I just look at the ticker and I'll be like, oh, we lost. We good. We
if
play
the
tomorrow.
Season lost continued again. Like 162 games, they would be one of the worst teams in the league. And I don't mean that in a necessarily
Cap,
negative
bro.
Way.
We would be in the middle of our division just like we are.
No.
Yes,
bro.
You
wouldn't, bro. That
yes,
division
would.
Is too good. No.
Yes, you did, bro.
No, the division is too good. It's 160 games.
And we get,
super
hey, I will say we've been getting scrubbed by the White Sox.
Well, the White Sox are one of the best teams in the league, if not.
Yeah, I know. We've been getting scrubbed by them. I'm happy when we even lose by one run. I'd be like, okay, we moving on up.
Progress is progress, and this is a perfect year to do that. So did you have anything?
I completely forgot that they were only playing 60 games. The season's almost over. Holy shit.
They have literally like 8 to 10 games, I think, most teams to left. So it's usually like two or three series. And it's just been super strange. Like we said, you know, the White Sox, nobody really thought that they were going to necessarily be as good as they are. The Marlins are contending. And most people thought they were at least, you know, a year or two away from actually being serious. And like you said,
damn, the Nationals aren't even going to make the playoffs.
No, they're actually, I think, the worst in their division. We're 2 weeks away from playoff baseball. And I think you'd see a lot of teams playing in the playoffs that you normally wouldn't. Obviously, with the extended playoffs, you're going to have, you know, extra teams through each division. So you'll see teams like the Blue Jays and the Indians necessarily make it in that you wouldn't think so. And then like in the NL, like you said, the Marlins and, you know, teams like the Giants who could compete and they have a chance now. So yeah, it's just a crazy season. It's fun to watch so far, but between like the whole COVID, you know, shutting the Marlins down early in the season. And I think now like out west, the fucking teams out there are dealing with the wildfires. I think I saw the San Diego Seattle game was moved back down to San Diego or something like that. Or maybe they were playing the Giants. I don't remember. But it's going to be interesting, man. The Yankees are getting healthy. They slumped, I guess, early enough to not really make a difference. They're currently second in the AL East, you know, charging the Rays. The Rays are going through a little bit of a slump right now. So, you know, that's a struggle. You know, the Braves and the Dodgers, I think two of the best teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Dodgers look really good.
The Dodgers.
I think if you had to pick a team right now to win it all, it would be the Dodgers, you think?
Yeah, it's going to be the Dodgers pretty easily to me. I think the Rays and the A's are probably, or I'm sorry, the White Sox and the Rays are two of the best teams in AL, and I don't think either of those are going to match up very well against LA. Yeah, I don't really give them anybody else in the NL.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm Jose Abreu, for the White Sox just because of Tim Anderson and Abreu. I like Abreu, too.
The bat flip god.
They're both, to me, leading for AL MVP along MVP. With Shane Bieber, the pitchers for the Indians, which would be like one of the first times. I think only like four pitchers ever have won the MVP, and two of those being like Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander, I think, were two of the most recent ones. So to have a pitcher win it, again, in such a condensed season, I mean, it's almost a third.
They don't have as many outings either.
Right, absolutely. So it's either make or break. Cool. And, you know, unfortunately, I think for the NL, I think the Braves had a guy that could win the Cy Young, but Max Fried,
but he got injured. It's funny when you look at the Dodgers stats page on ESPN. Their team leader in batting average, home runs, RBIs, on-base percentage, and hits is Mookie Betts.
Of course it is.
In every category. And it's just funny to think that, like, the Red Sox, like, you had this guy. Like, that trade even funnier. I don't know, because the Red Sox are sucking ass this year.
Yeah, they definitely are on a rebuild. I think, I mean, kind of like the Texans trading, like, Hop. You're just like, how do you get rid of
But it's even worse than that,
though. Oh, I agree. It's like Mookie, to me, is better than what Hop is in the NFL. But no, I mean, Mookie Betts is just, he'll probably win NL MVP. It's going to be a tough race though, between Freddie Freeman and Fernando Tatis too. I think anything's possible with these last few games. I think Tatis has the edge on Mookie for war, wins above replacement, but I mean, that could change in an instant. I mean, if somebody hits like a 2-run home run, like shit's changing so frequently. So, but Fernando Tatis is fun as hell to watch. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with the Padres, but he's up there with Tim Anderson as, you know, the young faces of Major League Baseball.
He's the one that got in that bit, like in that huge altercation early in the year, right?
Right, he hit the grand slam, you know, on a 3-0 pitch or a 3-1 pitch, whatever it was, and you know, that left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, but it just, I don't want to hear that argument because I've seen teams lose by double digit leads and it's just, nope. Do you ever see Bill Belichick take his foot off the gas, you know, in the NFL? No. And look what happened, you know, look what he's built. Like, same thing.
And Manny Machado's not playing bad for the Padres either, for what it's worth.
The whole team, yeah. The team.
I know people like to hate on him, but he's playing pretty well.
Yeah. So, yeah, baseball's fun.
I'm excited to see, I guess, what happens in the playoffs, especially like you said, with the extended playoffs. It should be interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of playoffs, the NBA playoffs are coming to a crescendo here. Oh, there's a game tonight.
Yep.
Is there both games tonight, CD?
No, the other one's Friday.
Okay. Nuggets, Lakers. So the Heat are up 1-0 on the Celtics as we're recording this, but they play again tonight.
Right there. The greatest of all time. No.
Sorry, go ahead.
What are you guys talking about?
Aaron Rodgers.
I thought I saw Lamar Jackson.
Aaron Rodgers came up and said, oh, look, the GOAT.
Oh, okay, because you guys realize I can't see CD's phone when he's showing it to you.
No, so no, it's on the TV. I got the baseball game.
Oh, okay. So Heat are up 1-0 on the Celtics after that pretty exciting game one. CD, what do you foresee for the rest of the series?
I think the Heat are going to win the series.
I like that. Because
isn't that Celtics. Much of like a take, though? I think they're pretty even. No. I think they're pretty evenly
Celtics,
balanced teams.
Celtics have the better stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, CD. And I know I don't know if you read the chat as often, but in the Hitting the Field chat, I did say that I think the Celtics have the best, like, of the two teams, they have better top line talent. But when you get to their bench is, like, stinky. Like,
that's why I think
like high key bad.
The Heat, like, I think I said this to my boy. I said they're not 0-4 Pistons because that disrespect needs to go out of the window. But they have some of the same
characteristics
as far as resiliency and their toughness. So, like,
right.
If they play the Lakers or the Nuggets, they're going to be tough to beat. They're going to be just tough defensively. They're not going to make mistakes that are going to beat them down.
I think the Heat match up
kind
well.
Of, they kind of come at you in waves, too, just because of how, like, I feel like everyone on the Heat can get you a bucket. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they match up evenly, and here's some research for you. They brought back the zone D after abandoning it in the first two rounds.
We got
Boston struggled against the zone D with Toronto in the last round. So,
yo, Kemba's been playing like
Gordon Hayward. Does he return too? If he ends up returning, is he going to be a factor?
So what you have to realize though about Gordon is that every time Gordon comes back, it takes him time to get back in the flow. I think they need Gordon more so to spell the other wings than they do as far as being an impact guy. Like those days are like in the past.
When Gordon comes back, you give him two or three games to get readjusted, and then he gets hurt again. So it's not even worth.
Yeah, isn't his wife pregnant too, or something like that? And he said that he wasn't going to miss the birth of the daughter, no matter her, their kid, no matter what. So
wait, isn't it a girl?
I think so. Yeah, because wasn't he super disappointed in the video or something? Yeah,
but he ain't showing up. He'll be there.
Where? At the bubble?
At the end of the bubble.
No, he said it didn't
like,
matter.
Yeah, that's just code. That's just speak. He's like, if it was a
boy. When the Heat win in four, he won't have to worry about
oof,
it.
Yikes.
I think, honestly, like, I think we need to start, like, preparing ourselves for, like, possibility of, like, a Heat Nuggets finals.
I don't.
Like, you literally, think about the two teams, though. You have the Nuggets, who've just been coming back on everybody.
Yep. Down 3-1 in each series.
And then you have the Heat, who've just been putting everybody away.
I think they're unquestionably the two toughest-minded teams in the league, for sure.
We'll see. I think Lakers going to test that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this, though. So, final predictions on the Eastern Conference. CD, what do you got?
Heat in seven.
Heat in seven? Chris,
I'll
what about you?
I'll take Celtics in seven.
I'm going to go Heat in six, just because fuck the Celtics. All right. And then we got
nice.
The Western
like
Conference Finals.
Wait, hold on. We can't just gloss
obviously,
over the fact
this
that
is
the Clippers, the choke job
oh, yeah,
that
they choked.
Did last round. I mean,
Harden
that was
choked.
Yeah. Yikes.
Clippers choked.
Yeah, you can't.
Pandemic P, way off P.
Kawhi, 6 of
Dragon
20,
Ball Z,
6 of 22.
Don't matter. Nuggets in 7.
Pandemic P, Kawhi being 6 of 22 shooting, like, in 24 points between
is, though,
him and
again,
Pandemic P.
They didn't lose the series because of Kawhi.
Yeah, that
though.
Was an awful series by Kawhi.
They lost the series because of Doc Rivers.
That
dude.
Was an awful series by Kawhi, but again, that guy is a two-time champion and a two-time finals MVP. Like, he's going to get his flack, but, he won already.
Yeah, I really don't want people disrespect. Like, because it wasn't Kawhi, bro. It really wasn't.
It wasn't Kawhi, but you can't have that performance.
No, somebody
in
brought up a very big point that I'm going to have to go back and watch the game to, like, really hammer it in. But what was happening was, like, Kawhi's one of those guys that kind of goes in this groove. And what was happening was everybody was just trash. And so, like, throughout the game, it wasn't, like, this rhythm. And so late in the game, he was forcing it. He was forcing everything to try to do something. Like, it was like, I'm going to shoot this, even though I wouldn't normally shoot this shot, you know? And it was like, nobody, like, you had Lou missing layups.
I think I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and him and Ryan Russillo were talking about how it just looked like a lot of the Clippers that weren't Kawhi were, like, scared to have the ball.
All I was saying was, like, if we're going to shit on LeBron for having a performance like that, and Kawhi has been argued to be better than LeBron
Here's the difference. And here's – I just want people to – whoever's listening, I don't know if LeBron truthers are out there. The reason people get on LeBron is he's the guy who, when he was younger, when he was a high schooler, he's the one who put Chosen on his back. He's the one who came in and was like, I'm going to do this, that, and the third, and everything else. And so everybody's like, okay. Kawhi hasn't said jack. Kawhi, shoot, I didn't even
see. Hold on. Kawhi did make those commercials for New Balance,
doing the stuff for the campaign. That's the most Kawhi guaranteed ever. Kawhi wasn't like, you know, I have this idea. This is how I want to see it. LeBron, on the other hand, has a thing with a throne early on when he was 18.
I think you're right. He doesn't help himself at all.
That's why people come at LeBron.
Like, but he still is.
I think people also came for Kobe
because he was saying, "I want to be better. I'm going to be better than MJ."
But that comes with the talent.
People also come at LeBron because of how hard SportsCenter rides him. I think the attention that he gets is part of his detriment.
The House of Hoops guys, the one doing SportsCenter in the social media, he just rides him like really heavy after LeBron called him out. But that's what I'm saying. My point is like, yes, I understand criticism. Kawhi deserves criticism. I'm not saying he doesn't. But the level in which they try to do the comparison thing, like Kawhi is just a great player. I never was one to be like, oh, he's just a great player on his own. The reason LeBron gets the singular attention, the reason why the Kobe's got the singular attention is because they said something that was like, all right, you saying that, you talking real, all right, you better back it up. Like Tim Duncan, when he failed, they weren't like, oh, Tim Duncan, man, you said that. He didn't say anything. He just went about it. That's a quiet. He's a, okay, I go about my thing. He could come back next year and whoop everybody. And it's just going to be like, and the media's going to come up. Oh, yeah. Think about it. KD was another one. What did KD do? KD was like, I'm that good too. KD would say little slick things. They were like, all right, let's see what you do when you face LeBron again. That's the guys that should get the mag. They've gotten the magnified and they deserve it because they've been saying so.
That's sports as a whole, though. Like, but if you talk, if you open your mouth, there are going to be expectations that you have to meet.
I'm talking about the people who are like, oh, Kawhi's not getting enough.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like, he's
plus,
not
Kawhi's already established. It's not like he's James Kawhi Harden or Russell
Westbrook.
He's
back there doing, like, probably rebooting right now. Like, he's got the thing in his head and he's just like this until the next season.
He's in a tube of, like, liquid.
He's in the hyperbolic time chamber just waiting.
Oh, my God.
So Nuggets in 7 then, right?
I got Lakers in 6. I think I'm being kind of, like, modest on that. I think it's in 5.
I was about to say, I think I'm going to do Lakers in 5. I think it'll be a gentleman's sweep.
So this is my thing, is obviously I'm a Nuggets fan, coming from, like, a place of bias.
Make the case.
But I will say, huh?
Make your case for why the Nuggets can win the series, would win the series. Just, like, off the top.
This is my thing, bro. I feel like they've been constantly getting disrespected the entire playoffs. I feel like... So, in the regular, we talked about it in the regular season, the Dwight Howard Jokic stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is the same Jokic anymore, bro. And I definitely don't think this is the same Jamal Murray. And I think when you get down to it and you kind of look at the rosters top to bottom, yes, the Lakers have LeBron James, and yes, they have Anthony Davis, but who else on that team can you seriously count on? And it's the same problem the Clippers had. It's like, yeah, they had Kawhi Leonard. But after Kawhi Leonard, and when the Nuggets are clamping people down, who else is going to score on the Lakers? There's not enough people on that roster that I trust. I think Mike Malone is a far better coach than Frank Vogel.
Here's my thing.
I just don't think people are giving the Nuggets enough of a shot. I just think they're getting disrespected.
Here's what I'm thinking, though, Meech. This is my only thing that I think about. So, one, I am curious to see what happens when you do see the Denver Nuggets go down, to see like how you see that team.
And you'll see AD be on Jokic. That's
yeah, happen, but here's the thing.
You know what would be the funniest outcome of the series, real quick before you go in, CD, is if the Nuggets go up 3-1 and then blow the 3-1.
Wow.
That would be wild. But that's the thing. That's my thing is that AD and LeBron, I don't see them folding in the way that Kawhi and PG did.
Mm-mm.
So I think they're always going to be applying pressure. And yeah, you're right that nobody else, it's like, who else do you have? But if you look at that series, who else was showing up for the Clippers? Like, Lou Williams.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Though. But who on the Lakers do you trust to show up?
But I'm saying, if you look at them even from last series, right? Danny Green started hitting shots. Like, you have guys. I believe there's a world. Especially with the bubble and how everything's been, I believe there is a world in which the Nuggets could win this series. But what it would take is Jamal Murray would just have to torch who's ever in front of him. And Jokic would have to be Mr. Triple-Double every game. And they would need
with their backs against the wall. That's what he's become. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's my thing is, at this point, it feels like if you're the Nuggets, you're playing with house money, right? All the pressure, again, is still on the Lakers. Like, the Lakers, everyone's talking about now is, oh, they're walking to the O'Brien trophy. They're like, the Lakers are now the prohibitive favorite to win the title. Mm-hmm. And so if you're the Nuggets, it's the same situation. It's like, well, no one fucking thinks we're going to win anyway. Let's just go out there and play ball. Whereas the Lakers, it's like, oh, you know, this might be LeBron's last real chance at a ring. Yeah. And it's setting up perfectly
for
him.
The thing is, like, LeBron at this point in his career,
it's a freight train.
It's just like, well, but this is mentally, the thing, he's not going to fold. No. He's going to put them in a position.
No, I understand that. But even if he doesn't, I just think the Lakers roster outside of LeBron and AD is not good. And I've been saying that all year, and it would be great if that finally actually paid off for me. But I think the Nuggets have enough guys that they can throw at LeBron and AD that,
Well, it's not AD. They won't. It's not AD. AD is going to average 30 in this series. It's LeBron.
Yeah, for sure.
But
if they can get the ball out of LeBron's hands, if they can make other people on the Lakers have to make plays, I think they can win, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just, I think it comes down to it. Those.
I'm trying not to be too Nuggets homer here.
No. It's not even that. It's just that, again, lots of stars are going to have to align because you have two of the top five players in the planet playing against you. And they've been just, like, on this focus now. Like, it's weird because, like, 2009. Lakers beat the Rockets, beat the Nuggets. Then they played in Orlando and got a championship. Like, the little stars are aligning, like, on the Kobe thing. And you just feel like the energy, the gravity is, like, pulling towards them. And so for the Nuggets to break that, it's going to take Jokic going crazy, Murray going crazy, and you're going to need Millsap to turn back the clock in a game. You're going to need MPJ to grow up a little bit. You're going to need Gary Harris to play good defensively. Like, these things are going to have to line up.
The funniest thing to me about this, about the two, like, potential finals now is that, like, on one hand, the NBA could get Celtics versus Lakers, which would probably crush ratings, right? Or they could get Heat Nuggets, which would absolutely flop.
I mean, the NBA wants LA and Boston.
They do. It's they want LA and Boston. That's why, of course, game one, they're like, oh, come on, Tatum.
It would do wonders for ratings, so it's just a matter of how many games
Although
each
I
of
think,
these are going
to go. I think Heat Lakers wouldn't do bad either, but the NBA definitely doesn't want the Nuggets
in
the finals.
I think the NBA is also like kind of like, oh, because LA, Miami, if this COVID wasn't going on, as far as the market share, would just be like,
yeah.
You know, because you talk about these markets,
two of
like,
the biggest ones.
It would be amazing.
The entire country, yeah.
I'm going to close with this. I just wish people would show the Nuggets a little bit more respect.
Put some respect on their name.
Hey, I've been showing them respect outside.
No, you
of,
have
you know,
been. You have been. I mean,
I'm a Jamal Murray.
A couple weeks ago,
I'm a Jamal
Murray.
Saying, Jamal Murray and Jokic are so fucking fun to watch, dude. I went.
Only
back
thing
and
I disagree with, you know, Nurkic is better than Jokic, but you know, hey, we're just
going
to leave that there.
And that's what I was about to say. You can't say that you've been beating the Nuggets drum when not even 3 weeks ago you told me Nurkic was better than Jokic.
Hey, Nurkic gang over here, dog.
Oh, man.
My Bosnian brother.
Worry
about
his leg staying intact. First,
my Bosnian brother. The fact that they had both of those guys at the same time is wild.
Well, the shitty part is, too, is that Nurkic didn't want to come off the bench, and it was very clear that Jokic was the better player. But
how clear was that? I don't know about the clearness.
All right, CD, relax. Relax. See, now you're just now you're just trying to get me worked up.
Nurkic has better hair, too.
He waited till the end of the podcast.
Oh. Well, I will say, it isn't even close if we're just talking about looks. Like, Nurkic is handsome, and Jokic is decidedly not handsome.
That picture of him, what is it? He has to be like 12 or something like
this.
Oh, man. The man boobs.
Oh, my God.
It's funny because isn't there a picture of Marc Gasol that's just like that?
Probably.
Like, fat, young Marc Gasol.
Yeah, you, I think that's a trade-off. You have to be, like, really ugly, weird, and then
if
just
you're going to be a European center, you got to be a fat kid growing up and just...
Like, yeah. Luka, his thing is he has a sexy mom, so everybody's just always going to be pulling that up. Like, it's, he's never going to...
Wasn't Porzingis kind of chunky? Or was he always scrawny? I don't know.
Porzingis just...
I think he was just always
Porzingis' curse is he's never going to have facial hair in his life. Ever.
Yep.
And his name is
Porzingis. You guys want to place bets real quick on if Giannis gets traded in the offseason or not? Or are
he's
we
not
just
getting traded.
Unfriending or unfollowing everybody on Instagram?
Yeah, but
what
they
does that
met
mean?
But they met with everybody. Like, it was like, okay, kumbaya.
Did he re-follow?
It's just like Allen Robinson unfollowing everybody on the Bears.
And look
like,
what that's going to happen.
It's like, oh, I got to send my message.
That's how they do it, though. Look what happens almost every single
it's
time
so
somebody
petty
does that.
Nowadays,
they get traded.
Dude, it's so petty.
Giannis, hey, I'm going to tell you who Giannis needs. He needs Jrue Holiday because Jrue Holiday is what they thought Bledsoe was, and they just learned
right.
that like that's not it.
I agree.
A ball creator who can score, who can shoot the ball.
CD, bro, can you explain to me, maybe another time, but like, is Chris Middleton actually good? Like,
is. He's a third guy, though. He's third guy.
Okay.
He's out of spot. Okay. He's out of position. He's not a ball. He's not a creator, but he can score in the mid-range. Like
would you say he's like Jaylen Brown in that way then? Like he needs to be the third option?
Defend. Yeah, he needs to be like if LeBron had Chris Middleton right now, they'd stomp the play.
Oh,
they'd
it wouldn't
stomp
be a
the
question, yeah.
Like
okay.
That's the kind of guy LeBron needs is Middleton. I can spot up. I can hit threes. I can also create on my own.
Play defense.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're number two, that's why all year I didn't believe in the Bucks. I was like, it's literally Middleton and Giannis. Giannis is a Shaq. He needs a Kobe to get him the ball. Like Middleton's not that guy. He's the third guy.
Maybe he should come to Denver, bro.
If y'all had Bradley Beal, I would be saying a different type
I'm
of
thing.
Right
I'm telling you, if they
or
lose
Jrue Holiday,
the series
Jrue Holiday.
Like pretty convincingly, they got to do what it takes to get Bradley Beal.
If you guys had Jrue Holiday, I would literally consider picking y'all to win it all.
Ooh.
That's how good Jrue Holiday is.
He's just getting excited. All right.
We're almost there, bro. I'm telling you. They're the youngest team in the playoffs. So.
And it's amazing. Right when everything was really bad. Michael Porter talking about need the ball more. Y'all just seem to pull it together. That only
and
makes
you
stronger. You
know what's funny is he didn't even get the ball more.
He didn't. But, even really but get if the you ball looked more. At that game, remember at the end of that game, he hit that shot, and then
yep.
he had that big rebound.
Hot. Yeah,
he like did some big stuff late in that game, which was good to see.
All right, well, I think that's gonna do it for this week's episode. We went an hour and 15 minutes strong, so
big comeback.
Pretty y'all solid. I'm sweating my balls off right now. So. Or else. Thank you all so much for listening to the 3-peat podcast.
Shout out to
and
our moms.
Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. All right, that's it.
Love you guys.
Peace.